Welcome to the Beyond the Diagnosis podcast with me, Dr. Kylie. I'm so glad you're here. If you find this empowers you to take back control of your health instead of relying on the system in any way, please share this with three of your friends. Invite them to come join us. Are you ready? Let's dive inside.
I guarantee you know somebody struggling with infertility. Every month it's a heartbreak. But yet fertility clinics and gynes, they won't do anything about it till they've been trying for at least a year. So let's talk about ways you can boost fertility right now, wherever you're at in the process. All you need to do is share this with somebody you know who's struggling so that they can get the knowledge too. Let's get started.
Infertility. One in six couples struggle with this just in the United States, and those are only those couples who have sought help. Many struggle with this behind closed doors. So I can guarantee every single one of you who is listening to this right now knows somebody who is struggling with infertility, which is why we want to do this video for you. We're going to talk about what you should not say, because people say stupid things, and what you need to know about these women and these couples who are struggling. Also, if you are struggling, this is built for you. This is Brittany here. Brittany's going to walk us through her story, as well as tidbits and advice for those of you who are struggling, but also those of you who are not struggling, how to handle or help those who are in this scenario. Brittany, you have been through torture with your struggle. Would you like us to tell us a little bit about it?
So my husband and I have been married for 7 years. Like any new couple, we did birth control for a year, not knowing, because we wanted to wait. We tried for a year on our own and then have struggled ever since. We were unsuccessful. We went through our OB, and who luckily for me was very thorough in her checkup. Wanted to just make sure all of our bases were covered. Her first thought was just, we'll put you on Clomid and in 6 months you'll have a baby. Mm-hmm. And that was not our story. We did that round. She ended up finding polyps in my uterus, which was kind of the start of how this all kind of came to be. She sent me to the University of Utah, and me not knowing or looking for other answers, we just kind of followed along the process as to where we were directed to go. Met with our first fertility doctor at the University of Utah.
What year was this?
This was in 2015.
Okay. So yes. Several years struggle, and I know Brittany is not alone in this struggle, so this is why we're doing this, because many, many people struggle, and you have all sorts of stories. We want to help you overcome it and change that story. So back in 2015, mm-hmm. you went to your first fertility clinic.
Yep. We did a couple of rounds of a cocktail really of medications, because my body responded differently to different things, and he didn't really know why. So it was just, we're going to try all these drugs and see what works. And in the process of through those cycles of medication, my uterus would develop polyps again, and we'd have to backtrack. So he'd also put me on a medication that would start a cycle and stop a cycle back and forth because of these polyps. And after a year of working with him, he finally washed his hands of me and was like, we don't know why this isn't working.
Washed his hands of you.
Yep. He told us that there wasn't more that he could do for us until I lost weight.
Okay.
And he walked out the door with no answers.
He didn't send you to anybody.
A year of medication, didn't send us anything. Call us when you're ready. So we took a year off to figure out what was next. Got a second opinion from another fertility clinic. Did a little bit more research in where to go and who to meet with. Got a second opinion and started the process again. In that case, we were kind of in the same boat, that things developed in my uterus that shouldn't be there. And in order for a baby to be there, we had to clear out the other stuff, which eventually led to cancer. So then we had to take a stint of time off from fertility treatments to deal with the cancer mm-hmm. and that had developed in my uterus in the meantime. And once again, I felt like I had been let down by doctors because we'd had this cancer idea because of these polyps that had been developing, mm-hmm. but they focused more on my weight than a cancer problem.
So they were almost blaming you for the issues.
Right.
Okay.
Every time is how I felt. Mm-hmm. That it was my fault. I wasn't doing enough. And it came to a point where then it had developed to actually being cancer and not just a cancer screening or a polyp. It was the real thing. And they were like, well, now we have to deal with this. So again, our fertility track was sidelined and we had to go to the Huntsman and do
the cancer follow-up.
And in the meantime, after that was cleared, we had a 6 months of clearance from cancer that we were able to quickly, in a 6 month time frame, try and get pregnant. And if we didn't get pregnant, then our only other option was a hysterectomy. So we did 4 rounds of IUI, intrauterine insemination.
Okay.
All failed. And
that's what landed
the point
you
we're
with
hearing.
Me.
Yep.
Okay,
all unsuccessful, and 5 years later, no baby, still no answers.
5 years later, how did that experience make you feel in general? As you bounce from doctor to clinic to clinic?
It made me feel unheard. It made me feel like it was my fault, mm-hmm. that whatever I was or wasn't doing was my fault. Mm-hmm. And unexplained. They couldn't really give me a reason why. And, you know, when we asked about these polyps that were developing, okay, why? What do we do about it? We can't get pregnant. Okay, why? What do we do about it? And it was just, well, it either happens or it doesn't.
So the why was still out there.
Right. And essentially came down to, for me, my personal experience was with my doctors telling me it was a weight issue. And if I would just lose weight, then I could probably get pregnant.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, being pumped full of medication,
yes.
that's the first contraindication is there may be weight gain.
Uh-huh.
And I'd say, how do I battle this when I'm being pumped full of drugs, that is the first case.
Uh-huh.
And they're just like, well, it becomes a controlled behavior. Do the best you can. Those were all the answers
so,
was given.
So walk me through when you're told that you can't get pregnant because of your weight,
mm-hmm.
what did you do next?
Anything that I could think of. I've done every program. And I get to a point where I thought, okay, I can do this. This is something I can do. And it would only get me so far.
Mm-hmm.
And then the discouragement sets in. And again, it's my fault. Why can't I do this?
Right.
I'm not enough.
And along the way, along this journey, did you tell people?
Yes. So our family is aware of what was going on. Quite a few friends and family
knew. So you have a supportive group.
Had a supportive group to the best that they could be.
Right.
It is a lonely disease.
One of my favorite phrases that Brittany has used and that you guys need to know well as well is that your pains don't always show. Okay, this wasn't supposed to happen, girl. Lots of people come in here with pains that you don't see. It's not a cast on your arm. It's mental struggles. It's physical struggles. It's emotional struggles. And it can tear you apart. And nobody understands unless it's you. So tracing back in time, Brittany is going to talk to us about what she would have wished she knew before starting this process. What you'd like to share with those who are in the process or about to start or have lost all hope. Let's start off with just what you wished you would have known.
Okay. I wish I would have had you 5 years ago and knowing where to reach out for help. I have learned that therapy is key. And if you can find someone to talk to that is not necessarily in your social circle or your family network, but mm-hmm. What's the word I'm looking for? sourced person that's not right in your circle that can have an impact.
A neutral perspective.
Yes.
Okay.
And give advice there and just be able to listen. Having friends that listen is good, but having someone to talk to, I think, is key. And I wish I would have had that years ago. And
so one of the things you recommend would be to reach out.
Find therapy.
Find a therapist. Find functional medicine doctor, which is what I am. Find someone outside of your network for that.
For help.
Okay.
And find something for yourself. Do something just for you. Go get a massage. For me, I found something that I always have done, but painting became my therapy.
Cool.
It was a creative outlet. It was something that I could go to and escape from. Mm-hmm. So find something for you. And I should have done that sooner as well. Education. Educate yourself. And research. You have the right to know what's happening with your body, why you're getting the answers that you are, and ask questions.
Interrogate.
Yeah.
Interrogate your doctors.
And look for other doctors. Look for other people that fit to what your needs are. Mm-hmm. For a long time, we just went through the system doing what was next, what was told we needed
IBS,
to do.
IBS, Clomid, the typical things
right.
inside Western medicine system.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt like a number with our first doctor. Felt like a cattle number just being processed through. And we did that for a year. And it was stressful and it was painful and we weren't getting answers. And
financially, money's getting flung out the door.
Right.
Right.
And again, like I said before, no answers. It was just, we're going to put you on all this medication. By my last round, and with him too, because these polyps kept developing, we actually never got through a full cycle of a pregnancy to try and get pregnant. It was just all medication, and then we either had to stop or go back or start again. So we actually never got through a full cycle to even
see if we could get pregnant. So meanwhile, with all this
with
all the medication, you're not experiencing a full 28-day cycle.
Right.
Wow.
Right. We could never get to that transfer process.
Yes.
And by the time we were on our last cycle, I was on 4 medications at 4 times their dosages. I was crazy.
Wow.
And then at the end, no answers. Not my body, quit responding altogether.
I'm sure.
And he couldn't tell me why. I was just like, well, I don't want to tell you. Take some time off.
Yeah.
Come back when you're ready. Was while we were left.
Okay. And you said that you felt like he washed his hands of you
yeah.
and sent you out the door.
Yeah. He literally walked away from me because I said, what do I do? What, how do I fix this? And he was just like, it becomes a controlled behavior. And in regards to my weight
and eating and exercise, that's what he was still blaming it on.
Right. To have surgery. To fix
hysterectomy.
Gastric bypass.
Gastric bypass. Okay.
Yeah. So controlled behavior, gastric bypass, and he walked out the door. So that's what I was left with. Again, mm-hmm. feeling like it was my fault. Mm-hmm. I wasn't enough. My body was failing
me. Your body's betrayed you.
Right.
Yes. So along that journey, what have people said to you that were so hurtful, but they didn't quite understand what they were saying?
So there's 3 words in the English language that I really get frustrated with. 2 of them are, the first one is just do IVF, just adopt, just lose weight, just do it.
Just do it.
Just.
Yeah, shoot the Nike brand right there.
Right. Just do it. And the other one is at least you're married, at least whatever it might be. At least it's hard because when someone says, well, at least, it devalues whatever your struggle is. At least you're not going through what someone else is going through, or at least it's just hard. I heard that a lot and was told, well, that's not that hard, right? It's not that hard to get pregnant.
For some people.
Yeah.
For others,
it is. It's not that big of a struggle. your trial isn't like so-and-so's trial. At least you're not going through.
Yeah, you don't have this cancer.
Cancer.
You don't have a kid.
Which I did have. Did that.
Yes.
So
using the word just.
Just.
Avoid it. Using the phrase at least. Avoid it. And you said there were three.
Well, at least two.
Okay, so the two words at least.
Just.
Okay.
Because you can't just go to Target and pick a baby up off the shelf. You can't just adopt. Adoption is an expensive option too.
Yes.
So
they're all expensive options.
Yeah. You can't just do it.
Right. And one of the phrases that someone said to me was, they asked me how old my little guy is. And I said, well, he's two. And she looked at me and said, well, your time's up. You're due for another one.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, we've actually lost his baby sister between his birth and now. And it basically was like, you shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
So be careful about what you say and who you say it to, because you never know the underlying struggles that they are facing. And just because you can't see the pain doesn't mean it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anything you could share with those who are struggling in your shoes, what would it be?
You're not crazy. I think some people think that, like I said before, it's not that big of a deal or it's not that hard. You're not crazy. The struggle is real,
mm-hmm.
and it can be lonely, and there will be dark days.
Let it out. That's why we're here.
You can't just walk it off. So, you don't have to take everybody's advice. You don't have to. You do you. If I've learned anything, you do you. You do what you have to do to survive, and you have to find your space in the waiting place. You have to find what works for you, and whatever the end result is, whether you end up with a baby or you don't, you have to know how to be okay, and you will be, one way or the other. So
yeah, whatever is in store. Well, thank you so much, Brittany, for sharing your story today. The goal of this was to get this topic out there. She's struggling with infertility. I've had a miscarriage.
The struggle is real.
The struggle is real. And those who haven't gone through it don't understand. And I've had other people I've worked with, have had the privilege to working with. Their family has told them, well, it's been 4 years. You should get over it. Forget it. You will never get over it. I don't care if you lost your baby 8 weeks into pregnancy, 20 weeks into pregnancy, or the day they were born, or even at 6 years of age. That is a life experience that will shape you. And because of that life experience, you'll be able to help those who have also been in your shoes. But just know that those who have not been in your shoes don't understand, and they have unreal expectations of you. So don't place those same expectations on yourself. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Okay.
It's not your fault.
Once again, it's not your fault. Don't say just. Don't say at least. Women, couples, the pain is real, even though it can't be seen. I'm Dr. Kylie. This is Brittany. Thank you so much for joining us today. Follow us on Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. And until next time. Infertility. 1 in 7 couples struggle, and those are the only ones who are reporting it or seeing a fertility clinic, talking to their gynecologist about it. So many more suffer. Now, let me get this one thing straight before we begin. It's not your fault. It's not because you can't lose weight. It's not because you're stressed out. Well, that can play a part in it, I guess. But it's not your fault. So quit beating yourself up. I've had so many patients say, well, my fertility doctor told me that's because I can't lose weight. Or he told me that it's because of this, or it's because of that. And they're just basically excuses. So let me get this first thing straight. It's not your fault. Infertility, miscarriages, stillborns, we always think that it's not going to happen to us until it does. Now, I want you to know, foremost, I have never struggled with infertility. However, I have lost a baby. I lost my little girl, Addison, 20 weeks into pregnancy. So I understand what it's like to get your hopes up
In fact, we had just barely figured out a name when my body betrayed me and I went into labor in the middle of the night at 20 weeks. I understand what it's like to go through the labor process and go home from the hospital without a baby in your hand. The only thing I have are my memories holding her. She was about the size of my hand. I have these itty bitty little footprints that somebody was able to take and make a plaster of. So right now she's watching over us from heaven with her grandma. So I get it. I understand what it's like to be pregnant, to get your hopes up, and then to have them dashed. Now, not only is infertility a struggle with 1 in 7 couples as from a statistics standpoint, but 1 in 4 pregnancies end early. And once again, you never think it's going to be you until it is. When it comes to fertility and infertility, your gynecologist, the fertility clinics, they don't even care to start helping you until you've at least tried for a year. And the first thing they're probably going to attempt is Clomid. Clomid is a typical standard medication for people who are struggling to have regular periods, and it's supposed to help them regulate their period so they can ovulate. That would be step number one in most scenarios. You go to a fertility clinic, you're going to pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for the chance at having a baby with IVF, AI, IUI, whatever else they can throw at you. Now, I have been told of a very sad story. I don't know the outcome. She decided to go through with the fertility anyways, but let me tell you, 27 years old, she is struggling with infertility and has been for over a year. I think her mom was telling me it was about 18 months at that point. So she reached out to a fertility clinic, not knowing that there were options. This fertility clinic, this doctor, sat down and told her at 27 years old, she has poor egg quality. That's why she can't get pregnant. Now, she's 27. This usually happens at 45. Once again, it's not your fault. And in fact, I would say that this wasn't the cause of her infertility. But it's what fertility clinics know. So the fertility doctor literally tells her that her egg quality is poor. And in order for her to have a baby at 27, she needs to give up all of her eggs. They need to take all of her eggs so that they can pick out which eggs are good and then try fertilizing them with IVF. Now, the first round of IVF was going to be $12,000. Mom was talking to me about how they were going to mortgage their house again, refinance it or whatever the heck the terminology is, to help baby girl get a baby. That was attempt number one. Now, research has it that infertility clinics and IVF specifically, it takes 8 rounds of IVF to boost your possibility, your chances of having a baby. Now, getting pregnant is one thing. Having a baby is another, right? I know because I've been pregnant 3 times. I have 2 kids. It's a real struggle that we all go through. Some of us go through anyways. And those of us who haven't gone through it don't understand. And those of us that have, what I have learned, don't expect other people to understand it either, because they're not going to. They may think, oh, well, you had your miscarriage 3 years ago. You should get over it by now. You don't. You don't ever get over it. So what happens when you don't have thousands and thousands of dollars to be throwing at trying to have a baby? What happens when your gynecologist doesn't even care about helping you because you're 6 months into trying? Let's talk about some ways that you can boost your fertility. The first one, because I just talked to you about the poor cells or the poor egg quality, the best thing that you can do for your egg quality in general, no matter what age you are, is to consume a lot of antioxidants. The more antioxidants you can consume, the better. Now, antioxidants look like vitamin A, C, E, and the best one is this thing called glutathione. But in your food, these are colors. So the more colors you can have on your plate, the better. Fruits, vegetables, they're loaded with antioxidants. Why? Because antioxidants protect your cells. They protect your eggs. They fight off all those bad guys so they can't damage your cells or damage your eggs. That's fertility booster number one. Number two, discover your environment. Is your environment making you sick? Let me give you some examples. There is an oil refinery probably 30 miles from my house. It's just north of Salt Lake City in Utah. That oil refinery pumps out fumes, gases, chemicals into the air. And I will tell you, around that area, infertility and miscarriages are rampant. And it's not just coincidence. Toxins affect our body in many, many, many ways. But let me just give you one simple way. Your toxins in general, love to hang out in four areas. Your adrenal glands, which are responsible for your stress production of cortisol and plays a huge role in your hormones. Your thyroid. If you're struggling with thyroid issues, toxins can play a role because they love to hang out in the thyroid tissue. Your liver. Your liver is burdened enough. If you have heavy, painful periods, that liver is struggling to get rid of your estrogen. If you can give it a boost, if you can relieve its burden, it's going to lower your estrogen and your periods are going to be much, much nicer. And number four, your brain. Brain fog, memory loss, even some of your autoimmune diseases like Parkinson's and multiple sclerosis. Toxins love those four locations because of the fat content in the organs. So they are affecting your body in multiple ways, affecting your hormones, affecting its ability to heal, affecting its ability to function, to think clearly, to have energy, you name it, toxins are in there affecting it. But going out and buying all this organic food, I don't buy organic. I buy very few things organic. I do not go out of my way to buy fruits and vegetables inorganic. Why? Because I'm going to get toxins anyways. And I can guarantee you, because I've heard it from farmers, that they are using other things to produce their organic food. And I'm not going to go into details because I don't know all of the details right here, but I do not buy organic. So don't go out and double your food budget because you feel like you need to buy organic. All you need to do is lower your toxic load in one simple way. Find something around your house that you use quite often. So whether it's your deodorant, check your deodorant. The most common ingredient in non-natural deodorant is aluminum. Aluminum is a heavy metal. It is a toxin. And you are rubbing it onto your skin every single day, maybe even multiple times a day. What about your cooking spray? Cooking spray is a very popular avenue for cooking, but it can also bleed out toxins from the can. So what I use at my house is one, either coconut oil, if we can handle coconut taste in that food. Two, I just flat out use plain butter. Put butter on my pan and spread it out, make it nonstick. Or three, avocado oil is a great oil to use because it cooks really well at a high temperature and it doesn't add any flavor into your food. So that would be one simple tool that you can take to boost your fertility, is to find simple ways around your house to lower your toxic load. Remember, it's not your fault. This is the environment that we live in. We are a product of our environment. That is why chronic diseases are so rampant and diagnosis codes for insurance are going through the roof because we have so many more symptoms and not enough umbrellas to put those symptoms underneath. So we're coming up with more and more diagnoses every day because of all these complications that people are presenting. So let's review this real quick. Number one, hordes of antioxidants. The more colorful plates, more colors on your plate, the better. Number two, check out your environment. Are toxins correlating to your infertility struggles? Now, not only is the oil refinery a possibility, but mold is a possibility. There's going to be a podcast on your home environment in regards to mold. Definitely check that out. Her name is Christine Phillips, and she is She's an NP, so a nurse practitioner, and her primary modus of helping people with chronic illnesses is to clean out their house. because oftentimes the affections are hanging out in their house, not in their body. Mold is a big issue. If you think you have mold in your house, if your house is more than 10 years old, get it checked. It could easily be a possibility for your infertility. It's much better to clean your house than put your body through some crazy jacked up hormone routine with IVF. The other component to the environmental factor is cosmetology school. Now, I work with so many young women who are in cosmetology school and they can't get pregnant. And it breaks my heart because they have no idea that their passion of hair styling is actually affecting their ability to get pregnant. No, you don't have to stop cosmetology school, but you got to do something about all the toxins you're putting inside your body. One, check out all the shampoos and conditioners. Look at the ingredients. If you can't say it, probably a chemical. And think of how many times you wash people's hair, you're adding dyes into their hair to color it. You're adding perm stuff into their hair to make it curly. I mean, you name it, hairspray, it all, it's all chemicals. And that's affecting your body's ability to have a baby, to get pregnant. Now, if you want to keep in that environment, which is fine, you just need one supplement. It's called Bind. Bind is a supplement that's literally going to bind to those toxins in your body and get them out. You can order it at drkylieburton.com/store. Go into the supplements, bind, and we'll get it. You're headed your way. And that will help your body eliminate those toxins. So that's the environment. That the environment could easily be affecting your body's ability to have a baby, have that normal cycle, whatever the case may be. Okay, number three. Now, this one is huge. If it is the biggest, most common hidden problem that nobody discovers. Whether it's chronic fatigue, whether it's infertility, whether it's thyroid struggles, whether it's, I mean, you name it. Whatever the case may be, if it's chronic, I can almost guarantee that this is a hidden problem and I can find it in your normal labs. You can find it in your normal labs. So if you've taken blood work, say within the last 6 months, year, 2 years, 10 years, doesn't matter, get your blood work out because this marker is found in every single blood work because it's the most common blood work taken, known as a CBC, complete blood count is what it stands for. But that complete blood count needs to be with differential. Now, in school, I thought that with differential aspect meant nothing. And then I got trained in functional medicine and I really dove into understanding labs at a so much deeper level. So we can take those normal labs, turn them into answers, healing, and hope. So take out your labs. Look for a marker known as WB, as in boy, C, white blood cell. That will be at the top marker of the CBC. I guarantee you have it if you've ever taken blood work in your life. White blood cell, if that marker is less than 5 or greater than 8, you have a hidden infection. That infection is going to eliminate your body from thriving. It has placed your body in survival mode. And it's not worried about getting pregnant and having to feed another baby in survival mode. Now, I can guarantee you that your white blood cell count, your labs, you've been told that they're normal. That 5 and 8 range, that's not the normal range. That's the optimal range, which is the way I read labs, because normal doesn't cut it anymore. So once again, white blood cell, WBC, less than 5, greater than 8. That's a hidden infection. It is causing your body to fight. When you can get rid of that fighting, it can start to thrive again. And then not only are you going to feel a million times better, but the infertility struggle, the horrid testing every month, the test result, the breaking, the heartbreak, the tears, all of that can come to an end. And I can always find it in people who have been to every other doctor in the planet, whether it's naturopath, nurse practitioner, MD, O, whatever the letters are. If you learn how to read the labs right, you can turn normal labs into answers, healing, and hope. So check out your labs. Boost fertility tip number 3, are you fighting a hidden infection? Number 4, no matter what hormone chaos is going on, we got to talk blood sugar. But before we talk blood sugar, let's talk birth control. Because when I was about to that point in life where I needed to start using birth control, I was terrified. Because birth control to me had such a bad rap that it was causing infertility. Now, here's the thing. Birth control isn't causing the infertility. It's the fact that birth control is being used as a band-aid to fix chaotic hormones in the first place. So then as soon as birth control is pulled, those chaotic hormones come right back and infertility is the result. Birth control gets blamed. Does that make sense? So literally, birth control is being used as a band-aid to fix hormones. That's all doctors know. That's what they're taught. If you need to fix hormones of PCOS, you got to jump into that previous episode on last week. If you need to fix hormones that are causing crazy, heavy, painful periods and libido or intimacy hurts, you got to jump into the episode last week where I'm talking about endometriosis. I can teach you how to fix those, and I do teach you how to fix those on the previous episode. So don't use birth control as a way to put a band-aid over your hormones. Fix them. When it comes to birth control, though, there are some that are good, better, and best. Now, me personally, I use the NuvaRing, whatever the heck its new name is now, but it's the NuvaRing. Why? Because it's such a small dosage of estrogen, and it's coming into my body right in the location of where the estrogen is being produced. I don't like taking pills. I don't recommend taking pills because the dosage has to be so much greater in the pill as it has to go through your GI tract and get separated and into your bloodstream. Whereas the NuvaRing, it's a small dosage because it's literally right there next to your reproductive organs. So you're not having to go through your GI tract. The second thing is the IUDs. Now, the Mirena is fine. The copper IUD, avoid it at all possible because copper steals from zinc. And zinc is required for your body to have healthy reproductive organs. In fact, miscarriages, one of the components of having a miscarriage is low levels of zinc. You can look at your fingernails and identify if you have low levels of zinc. If you have white lines on your nails, that's signifying that you have a zinc deficiency. Now, if you have a copper IUD, just go talk to your gyn, worry about getting it out, try a different one, try the Mirena, or even the one that goes in your arm nowadays. I mean, there's so many options, but know that copper is depleting your zinc levels, and that is going to directly affect your reproductive organs and your body's ability to carry that baby long-term. So there are good, better, and best when it comes to birth control. And please don't have birth control fix your hormones. Fix your hormones first. Birth control is a band-aid. If you're in that, and once you take the band-aid off, the hormone chaoticness comes right back. So number 4 is balancing blood sugar. Balancing blood sugar, I'm not talking about prediabetes or diabetes. I'm talking about your blood sugar throughout the day. Is it going up and down and up and down and up and down, just little teeny hills? Or is it staying smooth and keeping you level-headed? Mood swings are a sign of imbalanced blood sugar. Another one is if you go from a seated to a standing position and you get lightheaded, that would be low blood sugar. With my first pregnancy, I struggled with low blood sugar. I remember being in the clinic at school and having to grab tables on multiple times where I go from a sitting to a standing position because of that lightheadedness. So there, I'm going to give you 3 rules to balance your blood sugar. I am not a fan of intermittent fasting, especially when it comes to healing the body. Now, there are people who are avid intermittent fasters. That is not me. I don't recommend that for people, like I said, who need to heal. So my 3 rules for blood sugar are, write these down. 1, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. It needs to be hearty, healthy, with lots of fats and proteins, very little carbs. The cereal in my house doesn't really exist. Now, my husband loves Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and so I get that because, you know, he's a roofer. By the end of the day, he just wants a Cinnamon Toast Crunch sometimes, so that's fine. My favorite cereal is peanut butter granola, It's a recipe that I just found online and I give to all my patients because it's in the anti-inflammatory diet. It's literally 4 ingredients, so it's so simple. But I love it because one, it's healthy, hearty, and quick. So be sure your breakfast, make time for it. One of the easiest things you can do is pre-cook all of your food for like a breakfast burrito. And then that way, you just grab it, throw it into a burrito and go. Or you can even freeze your breakfast burritos and then cook them. Heat them up in the microwave, go. But make breakfast a priority. If you don't make it a priority that day, you will find that your blood sugar has struggles. You will crave sugar. You will probably be more snacky, especially at the end of the day, because you didn't set your body up for success in the breakfast hour. So if I'm going to Kneaders or if I'm going to Great Harvest, you know, all those delicious breakfast places, Kneaders has the French toast that I absolutely love. But if you only get French toast, talk about carbs. You are setting your body up to fail for the rest of the day. You will eat more. You will crave more sugar. You'll have mood swings, all that fun stuff that you just think is a normal part of your day. It can go away if you eat a healthy breakfast on a consistent basis. So if I'm having French toast at Kneaders, I will always get an omelet to go with it because the omelet's going to help my body balance all that sugar out. So simple ways like that. Rule number 2 for balancing your blood sugar is to never skip a meal. You got to make sure that your body knows food is coming. If it doesn't know food is coming, it might just hold on to your food, thinking that one day you're going to be in a starvation mode and you're going to start gaining weight. And you're not going to be able to lose it. That's a whole different conversation for some other time. Rule number 3 is whenever you eat a carb, always have a protein and a fat with it. For example, say you want to grab a snack or an apple for a snack, throw on some peanut butter, have some peanut butter and apple. Ta-da! Carb, protein, fat. Just don't ever eat carbs by itself. It's going to totally screw your blood sugar up and you're going to have those little ups and downs. And blood sugar is the number one underlying most common problem for hormone chaos. That's booster fertility tip number 4. Tip number 5, eat more healthy fats. Avocados, if I liked avocados, I would be eating them a lot. I just can't handle the texture. So for me, I like my coconut oil. I like my avocado oil. Those things that will allow me to help get more healthy fats in my diet, taking CVO as a supplement, taking Vista 1, Vista 2. The best way for me to get omega-3s in my diet is one, either fish, which I don't really eat very often. I used to in Oregon because it was all fresh and it was so good. Now in Utah, it's not fresh, so it's not very good. Healthy fats are very important because they are responsible for producing your hormones. Testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, and even that lovely stress hormone known as cortisol. They all come from cholesterol. Ta-da! Cholesterol is not a bad thing. It's actually helpful. Have healthy fats. That's going to help your body produce healthy, balanced hormones. All right. Tip number 6. Last but not least, understand your cycle. Cycles can be tricky. We're cyclical women. That's just a story. Men deal with it, right? But I was talking to my midwife one day in this last pregnancy, and she was telling me how many women come in thinking that they have an infection. But in reality, they are simply ovulating and their body is letting them know. So you're going to have greater discharge during ovulation. When that discharge is like mucusy and white, you know what I'm talking about? Then you're ovulating. That's when you need to get busy. The other thing with your cycle is your body temperature will actually skyrocket just a little bit, like a degree, during your ovulation phase. So if you take your temperature throughout the entire month, you'll notice that it will be 98.7 for a week, and then it's going to go to 99.5 for like 2 days, and then back down to the 98.5 range. Does that make sense? You're going to have a little teeny spike when you are ovulating. That's when you need to get busy. Now, let me give you a tip here. Not very many people like to hear it, but I'm going to say anyways. Men hate sex if it's a chore. I'm sure your husband might have told you this by now. Don't make it a chore. Don't make it a thing, something on your to-do list. So what I say is stop having sex and start making love. There's a difference. Your husbands will feel a lot different too, or your spouses or your partner, whatever the case may be. All right, let's finish off with a story. Abby here. Abby is 22. She is happily married, but her health is a disaster. She doesn't look like it. She looks like the model person, the model Barbie, but inside her health is a disaster. She's terrified to start trying to get pregnant because she's never had a regular period in her life. And she has Hashimoto's, just got diagnosed with it. Put her on medication, thyroid medication, because, you know, that's what they do. And they say, take this for the rest of your life. It should help. Should, keyword. So what does Abby do? Her and her husband are thinking, you know, in the short term, we'd like to start trying maybe within the next year. Again, she's terrified. Now, I had the chance to teach Abby about hormones at a live class in Utah. She was there with her mom, and it was life-changing because not only did we get her off her thyroid medication like within a week, she felt better off of it, for two. Three, we fixed her thyroid lab, so they're not just normal, but they're optimal. She's feeling great. She's not throwing up anymore. She's not nauseous. She's got the energy she wants. Her cycles are normal after having PCOS as a diagnosis as well. Her cycles are normal. Within 2 months, she calls me, tells me she's pregnant. However, that did not last. She lost the little baby at 6 weeks. Called me devastated. Now, I can get it because I've experienced that. I was at 20 weeks, so mine was a little farther along. But doesn't matter how far along they are, it's always heart-wrenching. If you've lost a pregnancy at any point, the next pregnancy is going to mess with your head. My third pregnancy, it messed with my head the entire time, especially as we're approaching like week 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. You know, that stays where it happened the last time. But I'm happy to tell you, she got pregnant immediately again, and I'm pretty sure she's due any day now. I should probably call her and see if she's got a baby or not. Oh, you can change your fertility status without paying a mortgage for IVF. Let's review these 6 tips. Eat antioxidants. They help protect your egg quality. Are you fighting a hidden infection? If you are, your body is not interested in thriving, let alone providing food for another baby. It's in survival mode. Find out if you have an infection by your blood cells, your blood work. WB as in boy, C is the marker. Less than 5, greater than 8, you have a hidden infection. If that's the case, get on the phone with me. Book a free phone consult at drkylieburton.com/book. And let's help decipher what type of infection it is in you so you can become a mom and live the motherhood dreams that you've been dreaming. Number 3, toxins. Is your environment making you infertile? 4, balance your blood sugar. 5, understand your cycle. 6, eat healthy fats. There you have it. 6 tips for boosting your fertility without having to pay $10,000 at a fertility clinic and wait over a year to get there. I'm Dr. Kylie. Until next time.
I could tell story after story. You've seen Facebook post after Facebook post. You know they're out there. You're not alone. They're not alone. Let's join in together. Share this with your loved ones. Share this with your friends. Let them know there are ways that they can start getting closer to motherhood than ever before. Click share on your social media, share it in an email, share it in a text, just share it. I'll talk to you next week.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Beyond the Diagnosis with me, Dr. Kylie. If you enjoyed this and you learned something new, if you felt empowered in any way, please go invite 3 of your friends to come join us. And then meet me right back here again next week.